I want to share some thoughts with you tonight from the well-known Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read it for us first, and then we'll just spend a few minutes thinking about some of the things that Luke tells us in it. Luke chapter 2, listen to the well-known words. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending people who tell us about Jesus. Thank you for sending the angels to the shepherds. Thank you for sending the shepherds to tell others. Thank you for sending the apostles out with the message of Jesus. Thank you for sending out pastors and missionaries and evangelists and friends and family members who tell each other about Jesus, that he was born, that he is the true king, that he lived and he died for us and rose again and ascended into heaven and is coming again. Thank you for that message and for those who have taught it to us. I pray that you would impact us with the truth of it tonight as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1847, a French socialist commissioner of wine, every time I read that I chuckle, only the French would have a government position for the commissioner of wine, but a French socialist commissioner of wine named Adolphe Adams wrote the words for O Holy Night. This is a man who later renounced the church, renounced the gospel. The words of O Holy Night were later put to music by a Jewish composer, someone else who didn't believe the truth about Jesus, but who nevertheless was drawn to these words and put them to music in the familiar melody that we know. Later, the song was translated into English by a Unitarian minister, someone else who doesn't believe the gospel as we understand it. All these people surrounding this hymn, which speaks of great truth to us, the hymn speaks truth to us, the Christmas carol speaks truth to us, but this carol is surrounded by all of these unbelieving people in a very interesting way. To me, it speaks to me of the fact that the events of Jesus' life are arresting, even to those who don't believe them. The truth about Jesus is life-changing. An encounter with Jesus leaves no one unaffected in one way or another. In fact, I would go so far as to say only a life-changing encounter with Jesus can finally lead us to be able to celebrate Christmas the way we were really meant to do. So tonight, what I want to do is think about the story of the shepherds that we just read from Luke chapter 2. Think about how they celebrated Christmas, and how they were able to celebrate Christmas, or what we think of as Christmas, because they had an encounter with Jesus. So we're going to see how they celebrate Jesus and how they encounter Jesus, because that's what we want to do too. Only a life-changing encounter with Jesus leads to a true celebration of Christmas. So we learn in Luke chapter 2 that angels appear to these shepherds who are out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. We're so familiar with those words, we can practically quote them, can't we? Well, who are these shepherds? Commentators and scholars and preachers and church people all kind of disagree about exactly who the shepherds were in those days. And what seems to be clearly the case is that in the first century, in the ancient world, shepherds were not really polite society. Not to say there's anything wrong with being a shepherd. Shepherding was a necessary task in that culture. Sheep were necessary. They were part of the food chain. It was part of the, not just food chain, part of the culture, the sacrificial culture in Israel. Shepherds were important in the society, vital in the society. And of course, we can't forget that shepherds played an important role in Israel's own history. David was a shepherd before he was a king. Moses was a shepherd before God called him to lead the people out of Egypt. Shepherds were important. But that's not to say that people generally liked having shepherds in their homes, right? And these are people who are outside most of the time. They spent their time with flocks of smelly animals, and they spent their time with other men who spent all of their time with flocks of smelly animals, and they didn't shower a lot, and they smelled bad. And the same thing happened with them that tends to happen today with people who spend all of their time away from high society, away from culture, away from polite manners and things, and they kind of forget their own manners. They're not polite. All of which is simply to say these weren't the people who, for example, a king would normally invite to celebrate the birth of his son. Like Herod in the palace in Jerusalem wouldn't have thought to invite a group of shepherds to come celebrate when his child was born. That wasn't normal. It wasn't a normal thing, and yet here it is, God who sends his angels to announce to these shepherds, first of all, that Jesus has been born, that the King has been born. It's one more evidence, I think, that God doesn't care one iota about society's preconceptions of who's important and who isn't. God will send his message, will give his truth to whomever he wants, however he wants. And so he sends the angels to these shepherds. And how do the shepherds respond in the story? They immediately go to see the truth of what the angels have said. There's no vacillating. They hear the message of the angels and they immediately say, we're going to go and we're going to see what truth there is in this. We're going to see this thing that the angels have told us. And they go, and as they go, they do a couple of things that I think are helpful for us. First of all, they repeat the good news to others. Right? They went with haste, it says in verse 16, and in verse 17, after they've seen the baby, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They made known the saying. They told everybody that they encountered on the streets. They told everybody who would listen, hey, here's what happened. Some angels came and they told us about this baby and we went and we saw it and there he was. It's just what the angels said. And guess what? The angels also told us this child is the son of David. This child is the child who was promised through Isaiah. He is the one who's going to bring peace on earth. And they told everybody. And all the people that they told responded in similar ways. It says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So you have to get the picture here. The shepherds are telling everybody they can about the good news, and everybody who hears it is reacting with wonder and amazement. In fact, even Mary herself, Mary, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary, who has had encounters with angels herself, is equally amazed and wondering at what God has done here. So they repeat the good news to others, and they also praise God. Luke tells us very explicitly in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. This is their response. They tell other people the good news of what they've heard, and they praise God. They're celebrating, right? They're celebrating that this child has been born. Christmas draws everyone in. Jesus draws everyone in. Everyone who heard it wondered. Mary treasured up these things. The shepherds glorified and praised God. Everybody who encounters Jesus is changed by him. On another Christmas Eve in 1871, during the Franco-Prussian War, a French soldier stood up on the front lines and started singing, "Oh Holy Night." Started singing those words that we heard Lindsay sing for us earlier this evening. And rather than being immediately shot by the enemies, a German soldier on the German line stood up and replied by singing the German carol, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Came." And the historians tell us that the fighting on that part of the front stopped for 24 hours while both sides observed the celebration of Christmas. Christmas draws us in. Jesus draws us in. A life-changing encounter with Jesus is what it takes to have a true celebration of Christmas. It's like the song says, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace." How do you celebrate Christmas? We do all kinds of things to celebrate Christmas. We have Christmas trees, and we have stockings, and we have presents, and we eat special foods, maybe, and we sing special songs, and we do all of these things, and they're all wonderful. I love all of these traditional celebrations of Christmas. But we have to remember that all of those traditional things that we do are meant, at their best, to point us to Jesus, to help us, to assist us in worshiping Jesus, in celebrating him and his incarnation, his coming and becoming flesh for us. If they're distractions to that, then we would do better to do away with them. Does your celebration of Jesus include sharing the good news, like the shepherds do here? It's interesting, isn't it? Nobody told the shepherds, "Hey, go tell everybody." You know, later on in the Gospels, in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and in other places, we see people being told, "Go and share the gospel. Go tell people the good news." Nobody tells the shepherds to do that. They just can't stop themselves, right? They are so filled with joy at what's happening. They're so filled with joy that God has sent his Savior to bring peace on earth that it just overflows from them. I wonder if we thought about evangelism like that, maybe it wouldn't scare us so much. Instead of thinking about it as steps that you have to take or something you have to check off of a checklist or something like that, just think of it as being excited about Jesus. Being excited about what Jesus has done. And then the question becomes, are you? Are we excited by what God has done for us through Christ? Our hearts ought to be filled with a joy in God's redemption such that we automatically worship and share the good news. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Only a joy in Christ. Joy in Christ will only come when we have a true encounter with him. And when we have a joy in Christ, we will be contagious in our joy when we encounter him truly like these shepherds. Which leads us to our other point tonight, the one other thing that I wanted to point out to you from this story. That is our need to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus. The shepherds show us that in order to truly celebrate Jesus, we must have a life-changing encounter with him. The shepherds have a real-life encounter with Jesus in this story. But think about what that encounter is. Did the baby Jesus say anything to them? Did the baby communicate to them? Did the baby call to them? Well, no, he's a baby, right? Did the angels come to the shepherds because they were more righteous than anybody else in Israel at that time? Were they more worthy to hear the good news? I see no indication of that. Rather, what seems to be the case is that God simply chooses to give this message to this group of people, and they are drawn to him. Their encounter with Jesus is initiated by God. The angels tell them about Jesus, the Christ child, and reveal to them that he embodies the redemption of Israel. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The result of which is, in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased." Jesus would be the one who provides peace on earth between God and his people. And we know that Jesus does this through the life that he lives, through the ministry that he operates, through his death, ultimately, on the cross as a substitute for the sins of his people. And then through his resurrection, even as we sang in the song, do you notice the words of songs as you sing them when we're singing "We Three Kings," those last two verses? The next to last verse ends very somberly, right? Sealed in a stone cold tomb. And it's a good thing it doesn't stop there, right? Because the next verse tells us, gloriously we see him arise. Jesus didn't just die, he rose. He was victorious for us. He ascended into heaven. Even now, Jesus, the incarnate God, sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, for his people. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's not because there's a baby in a manger, it's because there's a king on the throne, and we can rest in him. We too can have a God-initiated encounter with Jesus. It's not something you can force to happen. It is God-initiated. God is the one who does it, but we can certainly ask him for it. We can ask God to open our eyes. We can ask God to open our hearts. And as I understand Scripture, everything indicates to me that God will not turn down that request. God will answer that prayer. When we ask him humbly to open our eyes and our hearts to the truth of Jesus, he will do it. We all need to do this. Mature Christians need to ask God to give us sensitive hearts and open eyes so that we can see him more clearly, so that our love for him and for the gospel can be rekindled. Young Christians, I don't mean just Christians who are young in age, but Christians who are young in their faith need to do this so that they can grow in their relationship with the Lord. Unbelievers need to do this so that you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all need to have a joyful encounter with Jesus. We can pray that God would give that to us. Only a life-changing encounter with Jesus leads to a true celebration of Christmas. We are not celebrating Christmas, truly, unless we are celebrating Jesus joyfully. I'll never forget conversation I had with a church lady at another church in another state before we moved here on a day when Christmas happened to fall on a Sunday. And we were in church on Sunday morning, and she saw me there with a couple of our kids, and she asked me the question, "Have you celebrated Santa Claus yet?" And I know what she meant, right? I know what she meant. She meant, have you opened some presents? Have you done the stocking thing? Have you done some of that stuff? I know that's what she meant. But I got to tell you, the wording of that really upset me. We don't celebrate Santa Claus. We celebrate Jesus. Right? We celebrate Jesus. Truly celebrating Jesus leads us both to glorify God and to share the joyful news of Jesus with others. On yet another Christmas Eve, in 1906, a Canadian named Reginald Fessenden put together a new kind of generator and microphone, and for the first time broadcast the human voice over radio waves, which had prior to that only been used to send Morse code. And for the first time, there were ships in the Atlantic Ocean that heard a human voice coming to them over the radio. And what they heard was this man, Reginald Fessenden, reading parts of this very story from Luke chapter 2. And then he picked up his violin and he played, "O Holy Night." The message is going out. The message of Christmas goes out. Nothing can stop it. Nothing that we see that is wrong in our world will conquer this message of the gospel. And I know there's a lot going wrong in our world tonight, a lot of things that cause us anxiety, but we can rest in this simple truth, that the gospel will conquer all, that the kingdom will be triumphant, that the king will reign even on this earth. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope and a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks anew a glorious morn. Let's celebrate Christmas by celebrating Jesus. I'm going to give you just a minute to think about this. Ask God, as we've said, to open your heart and your mind to the truth of the gospel. Do that in just silent thought where you are. And then after a minute, we'll continue worshiping as we sing.